Now let's go to Pastor Brian as he picks up where he left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the priority of love.
The description of love is in verse 5, which says it thinks no evil. And it's related to the need for us to forgive others. And so I thought I would tie that in to the coming of Jesus Christ, as well as what true love is all about, as found within the Word of God. To celebrate Christmas, to celebrate the birth, to celebrate the forgiveness that we've received and the need for us to forgive others as well. Because one of the things that God Himself is desiring to do is to change our lives, obviously, from once the point that we get saved, to make us more and more like Himself, because He's our Father. And it's interesting that, not in every case, but in many cases, the son will look like their father. They pass on the characteristics. And when you see the father and you see the son lined up right next to him, you can see, well, those two are definitely related. The other day I went to pick up my son at school, and one of the little kids, a little first grader, said, "Hey, you look like him." And he was pointing to my son. And, you know, I got all proud and was excited. And he said, he goes like this, he goes, "It's the hair." So, can't get away from it. Well, I was blessed with this due from my father, and he has the same, so it's just been passed on. And I've taken on certain characteristics that my father has, and I'm passing them on to my son, and then he'll bless them on to the next generation. But it's natural. And for the Christian, it's natural for us to take on the same characteristics of our Heavenly Father in the area of love, because the Bible says that God is love, and then Romans 5, verse 5 says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so for every person that's born again, that's a Christian, they have the love of God residing in their heart, God's love for us as present within the Spirit of God that's within us. And so that's true of every believer. And now we need to learn how to exercise that love that God's demonstrated towards us and will empower us to do by His Holy Spirit that lives and resides within us. And as we've been looking at this section in 1 Corinthians 13, in verses 4 through 7, there's 15 characteristics. And they're all verbs because they're all actions. Because love is much more than a feeling, it's an expression. It's something that you actually do for somebody, not that you just feel it. It goes much beyond that, or the love of God does. And it's not just a good feeling or a good heart towards somebody where you kind of like them or you're favored to them. It's much more than that. It's when you're willing to sacrifice and to give for them, to bless them even at your own cost. And we've been looking through these, and we've covered the first 7 of these characteristics. And the 7th one is found in verse 5, and I point this one out because this is where we ended last week, and now Paul begins to describe how love responds to evil in other people. When people do wrong against you, how does the love of God respond? And he says it is not easily provoked. It means it doesn't fly into a temper. It's not angry or easily angered. And so when we're truly walking in the love of God, when people are doing wrong things to us, we don't get all upset and angry and frustrated and lash out at them. That is not what the Spirit of God produces. The Bible does say there are things that we could be provoked about, and that is when the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ is being offended or thwarted in some way, or some immoral acts are being done and are paraded around as acceptable. It should stir something within our hearts. As Jesus was very angry at the people selling all that stuff in the temple, he took a cord and he drove out the people and turned over the money changers. So there was an anger, but they call that righteous indignation. But that's a big difference when you're offended at God's honor rather than you're offended at your own personal comfort and someone's violated that or someone said rude things to you or frustrated you. There's a big difference. And sometimes Christians want to say, well, I'm angry because it's righteous indignation. And as a husband, you can't get away with that. You're angry because it's a work of the flesh, the Bible says. The Bible says in Galatians 5, an outburst of anger is just your flesh. It's not because you're so righteous and holy that you're mad all the time. If you're mad all the time, you need to have the Spirit of God change your heart and quit using that as an excuse. So that's not acceptable. Yeah, there's things to be provoked about, but that's when the cause of God's glory is at stake. And see, someone that's easily angered all the time, they're angry because their life is being being made uncomfortable. And they're seeking, how does my life, what's best for me? And now you're doing these things that are frustrating me. And then anger comes out, and see, that's just self-centeredness. So being angry all the time is just being self-centered. It is not being spiritual. It is ungodly. And here, this love, the love that God produces, is not easily provoked. Take, for example, you're driving along on the freeway. And that space in front of you, you own it, don't you? And no one should cut in there. But as soon as someone comes in there, you're upset because you have to get to work on time. Well, if you start lashing out and getting angry, it's because you're thinking about yourself. Well, maybe this guy needs to get to work at time and he's going to be fired the next time he's late, or who knows what's happening. See, but we get self-centered. That you just violated my space, although you don't own it. You pay taxes on it, but it's not yours. And now you're upset because it's messed your plans up. And if that's always happening to you, you need to check your heart. Because that's not the love of God. That's the flesh, the sinful nature being manifested. And so let's not use this one as being provoked. It's over godly things. Now, here's one we want to focus on. And this is just a beautiful description of how love responds to evil. First of all, it's not angered when people do things to you or say things to you. But then it also says, thinks no evil. And one man translated it this way, does not keep a record of wrong. That means now when someone wrongs you, it's not just a matter of lashing out and being angry at them. Love doesn't do that. See, but love goes even further in that when somebody does wrong you and someone does hurt you, it's not like you keep a mental note of that in your mind and you write it down in your heart and in your mind. I'm going to remember that about that individual. See, there are people that are passive and aren't going to really explode in anger, but that's not love necessarily. Because it could be in their heart, in their mind, they're saying, I'm never going to talk to that person again. I don't want to see them. And every time that name is mentioned, you go back to that thing that you've recorded in your mind. So love is able to erase those things and doesn't keep a record of the wrongs that are done to you. And again, this is obviously God has to be able to bring this about within our hearts. Let me give you a definition, because the Greek word is actually an accounting term, which means to keep a mathematical calculation or to enter in a ledger so you don't forget. It's a graphic word because what it is, when someone wrongs you, what you do, obviously, excuse me, obviously you don't write it down and say, put Joe's name and then he did this to me. But your mind records it. And it says love doesn't write these things down. Because a bank, an accountant, they write that down so they know what you owe them or what you've paid. So they will not forget. The love of God is able to come in and penetrate your heart to be able to forget about those things. Again, you don't forget that it happened. That's not realistic. That's not what the Bible says. But now you don't hold that person accountable to that any longer. You don't have it in your heart. The next time I see that individual, this is what they did to me, this is what they owe me, and then it goes on and on through your mind, and you keep a record of that. Love says you don't write it down. You forget about it. You put it aside. And that is obviously so hard to do, especially when someone has wronged you and in a hard way, and it's hurtful and it's damaged your hearts. Well, you don't keep a record of it as you walk in the love of God. G. Campbell Morgan, a good comment, he's written a few commentaries, put it this way. He says, love does not keep a ledger in which to interrupt wrongs to be dealt with someday later on. So again, you're not easily provoked. You don't lash out all of a sudden, but then also you don't let it settle in your heart that one day I'm going to get that individual, or next time I see that individual, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to do that. The love of God's able to overcome those things. Now, in all these descriptions that we're looking at, we're not talking about a human love, because a human love only goes so far. This is where God supernaturally is able to help us to forgive and to release that individual and not want harm done to them, and be able to not meditate on it and think about it and to release them from that situation. And it's not like you have that book in your mind where that mark is against that person's name. Also, this can be translated, does not think upon. You don't think upon the evil that's been done to you. And that's what we do, right? When someone wrongs us, what do? We meditate upon it. We play it over like a videotape in our mind over and over and over again. And those old emotions are evoked and rise up to the surface, and we'd be just as hurt or just as mad as the day that it happens. And it's like you have this conversation going on in your mind where the next time I see that individual, this is what I'm going to say, this is what I'd want to do. And we've all been guilty of that because that's a human response. When someone wrongs us, we want to get even with them. I mean, I've had to battle that as well as myself. It's like you have this conversation that's being played in your mind with someone that you're not even around. And you remember what they did. And if they say this, I'm going to say that to them. And you want to get this frustration out. Here it says this love doesn't think upon those things, isn't